Hey there, everybody. Welcome to Up All Night, a horror anthology podcast. My name is Cortland, and with me today is the guy that would love to have breakfast served by Wolfgang Puck. It's Brandon.
Oh, my God.
How you doing, Brandon?
Oh, Wolfgang can serve me anything.
Dude, right?
Is he still alive?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Oh, shoot. Okay.
He's still around. He's kicking. He's not doing any Tales from the Crypt these days, but, you know, that's okay.
Nobody is.
I know. Why
it's a real shame.
Why have they not rebooted Tales from the Crypt yet? I don't understand.
But
it,
if
Brandon.
They do, Mr. Puck needs to be, like, first on the call sheet.
Yeah. If there's, like, a cooking episode or something, get that Wolfgang Puck on here, Brandon.
We're not doing it without Wolfgang.
Maybe that's... You know what? That's probably why it hasn't been reborn yet.
They're stuck in negotiations.
Wolfgang Puck is like, no.
How much is Wolfgang going to be paid? Not if, but how much?
I made the frittata. Nobody ate it on the set. No, I'm so bad at accents.
No, that's perfect.
Ah, thanks, Brandon. So, yeah, I have to say, I don't know how our necromancy magic of old TV shows has not worked on Tales from the Crypt yet. I mean, we're not done with it yet, so there's still time. But
yeah,
it's unfortunate, Brandon. Of all the shows that should be remade, you would think Tales from the Crypt would be first. But it's not.
Yeah, it's got to be up there.
Oh, Brandon. It's been a week. I'm just going to ask. Anything awesome happened to you this week? Anything worth talking about?
I did actually have something, but then I forgot it, so it can't have been that great.
Wow, okay.
But yeah, put this one in the history books that something happened to me.
Yeah.
Even though I can't remember it.
You didn't fry your hand on the fryer. Did you watch a movie? Did you watch any movies this week? Besides the one we're going to cover for plot points.
No, that movie.
That's all you had time for.
Ruined the rest of movies for me.
Yeah, so that's fair. You know, last episode of Plot Points incoming. Sorry, patrons. Well, Brandon, I actually watched a movie last night.
Oh,
it wasn't Little Monsters. Thank God. So my son, he's 9 now. He's 9 years old. He's at that age. He wants to watch horror movies. He loves horror stuff. Like, don't judge me, okay, everybody, but, like, he has played The Last of Us on the PlayStation. He really likes
it. He's one of us.
Yeah, he likes spooky stuff. I don't blame him. I liked spooky stuff at his age, too. I was just, first of all, I couldn't handle it. And second of all, like, I didn't have access to a lot of it. So, these days, you got everything, though. I mean, there's, like, Shudder. It's a whole horror movie, bada bing, you're streaming it all kind of thing, you know? So anyway, he wanted to watch a zombie movie, and I was like, zombies, you say? You know? I love zombies.
You know a thing or two about zombies.
Zombies. But it was hard to figure out which one should be his first zombie movie, because I don't want there to be nudity in it, Brandon, because he's 9 years old, and zombie movies have lots of nudity.
You gotta draw a line somewhere.
Yeah, I'm not here for the nudity. He did accidentally watch What's Cooking With Us one time when I did it on a stream on Instagram, and... there is very clearly meatloaf ass in that episode of Tales from the Crypt, but
yeah,
I didn't know it was coming. I was like, whoa, and I tried to cover his eyes, but he was like, is that meatloaf butt? And I was like, son, stop, please. So anyway, it was between Day of the Dead from 1985 and the Night of the Living Dead remake from 1990. I tried to get him to go for the original Night of the Living Dead, but he was like, black and white. Fuck that. You know, I was like, okay, that's okay. Fair, son.
Yeah, maybe someday.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll upgrade to that eventually. So we ended up watching 1990s Night of the Living Dead remake from Tom Savini. And
it's a good choice.
Yeah, that movie is not bad. One thing I will say.
First of all, you don't want to start off top of the heap, because then there's nowhere to go but down. So.
Yeah, you're right. And there's a lot of bad zombie movies out there, and we didn't choose any of those ones. I mean, arguably, Night of the Living Dead remake's not the best zombie movie, but yeah, it's pretty good. I think it's a good one for your first zombie movie, because there's really no nudity. You see the flash, like, the flash of a butt cheek from a man, and there is a naked woman's butt that you see for, like, 2 seconds. So, that's pretty good, you know. Nudity-wise, pretty tame. As far as gore goes, this movie is not very gory either.
That's really surprising.
Yeah, for something directed by Tom Savini. I mean, Tom Savini's known for his incredibly gory makeup. He did Day of the Dead, which is like an absolute gore fest. Love that movie. But he did like the Friday the 13th too, you know? So I expected, and I hadn't watched this movie since I think I watched it with you back in like, you know, early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
I expected a little more gore. Because it like sets things up. You know, you have Barbara, who's like a fucking badass. She's like Ellen Ripley in this movie, which is great. She like sets up these shots where she's like about to shoot somebody, and you like look at the zombie and you look at her aiming, and then she like shoots her gun and you don't see anything off screen. It's like, oh, well, I want to see a head explode at least. Like, come on. You don't see none of that.
That's why you watch a zombie movie.
The makeup for the zombies is pretty good, though, like as you'd expect from Tom Savini. But I don't know. I wanted more gore, Brandon. Not that I'm like, you know, a gore hound or anything, but I expected a little bit more. But it was good. It was good. I don't think it scared him. I remember when I watched that movie and I was like 12, I was like kind of scared from it. So he's, you know, stronger willed than I am, I suppose. It's good signs.
Yeah. All right. Where do you go from here?
Oh, man, I don't know, because a lot of the good zombie movies are like in other languages, and I don't think he has, like, I don't think he wants to listen, or like he doesn't want to read subtitles, and I don't blame him. That's a lot.
Yeah, if black and white movies are out, then subtitles are definitely out for now.
I know. That's okay. I'll figure something out. I hear there's a one called Night of the Comet that is really good that I'd like to watch. So maybe that. We'll see.
All right.
But gosh, Brandon, I've been gushing for like 6 minutes now. Do you want to talk about this episode of Tales from the Crypt?
I guess we can.
All right. Well, Brandon, we just got done watching the season 4 finale of Tales from the Crypt. We're already done with season 4 here, Brandon. It was curiosity killed. What'd you think of this?
This was the finale?
Yeah, this is it.
I forgot about that. Okay.
This is it for season 4.
This is a choice to go out with this one.
Yeah, right. I mean, I would think something like Werewolf Concerto with, you know, fucking James Bond in it would have been, you know, the season finale choice. But no. But this curiosity killed old people in a fucking swamp with a couple of RVs, Brandon.
All right. Well,
what'd you think of this then?
I'm going to say spoilers for our wrap-up episode, but this is probably the least good episode of the season.
Oh, my, Brandon. You didn't like this one as much, huh?
It wasn't great. No.
Oh, my goodness. I think I liked this episode a lot, actually. I mean, like, oh, not really? A lot. Look, I liked it because of our main character, Cynthia, in this episode. Okay. I think she's amazing.
Okay. And you liked Cynthia?
Oh, I love Cynthia.
All right. Maybe that's a big factor, because, man, Cynthia, for me, was just a very unlikable
character. She is. Yeah, she's the worst.
Like, on purpose. I'm not saying, like, the actress didn't sell anything or whatever. Like, she was great. It's just the character is very unlikable.
She is. I think that's why I like her so much, is because she's so rotten. And props to the actress, okay? Because this episode is a group of four old people, and old people is in quotes because they're in old people makeup. That's my favorite part. My favorite part is watching Cynthia act like an old woman, like walk around like an old lady. I think it's hilarious.
Yeah. The other actors are older than her, definitely. Yeah. But, so she's like in the most old makeup. Everybody else is in like a little bit of older makeup. But she's full on, like,
she is a, you know, probably 30-something, maybe 40-something woman acting it up as if she is a 80-year-old woman. And she's got the voice, Brandon, and she's got the walk. And I was just like, damn, you don't look old, but, like, you're making that work. I think it's great.
Yeah, like, the makeup's not fantastic. Like, you're not going to confuse her for an actually old person, but she kind of sells the whole old vibe.
Yeah, they were like, hey, do old. And she was like, done. I've seen an old lady before. I got this. Well, let's go ahead and get started here, Brandon. Our episode starts up with some excitement. We hear our best friend, the Crypt Keeper, scream out, Geronimo! And then he crash lands down on top of some leaves and shrubbery and shit. He gets up, he pats the dust off, saying, glad you could drop in, kill seekers. Don't worry about me. It only hurts when I laugh. And then he laughs because he can't help himself, Brandon.
He's always laughing.
He groans in pain, though, so yeah, it does hurt him. But he tells us it's all good, baby. In fact, that's even better than hang gliding. And then he laughs some more, but this time it doesn't hurt him, so he must be all better now.
Good for him.
I know. Quick recovery. He tells us, of course, some folks would rather keep their feet on terra firma, like the people in tonight's Putrid Peace. They're spending a nice quiet weekend in the woods going hack to nature. He calls this fetid fable curiosity killed.
Killed what?
The cat. Probably, I don't know.
There's no cats in the story.
No, there is a dog, though. The fucking dog, Brandon. Oh, man. Mm. We zoom into the picture for this episode, and it's, well, it's something. Something, Brandon.
Yeah, it's some old people.
Yeah. In the foreground, we have a skeleton with flowers coming out of it and a knife sticking out of it, too. Behind it is an old man reaching for the flower. Behind him is another old man just kind of watching. And then behind all of that, we see an old woman peeking through some bushes, seeing everything, Brandon. Whew, she is a
Yeah, it is just layers keeper. Of old people.
Yep, that's why I said lots of layers. And they're all old. Now we fade into the episode here, and we see two of these three characters. Although there is four characters in the episode. Anyway, it is the old woman, Cynthia, and her husband, Jack. They're out camping in the middle of the woods with a luxurious motorhome, Brandon.
It's pretty snazzy.
These motorhomes in this episode are so gigantic.
They are massive, and also, like, they're in the middle of the woods where it doesn't look like there's any roads or anything, and they're surrounded by trees.
Right.
It's like, how did they even get there?
They were like, beep, beep, plowing through fucking trees, getting to this goddamn camp.
Yeah. I mean, it's just the middle of the woods. They're not at, like, a, you know, Camp Crystal Lake or something.
No, I call it a swamp a couple of times in my notes because they do refer to it as a swamp, but it is more, like, wooded area. These guys, they're just kind of sitting outside at a table. There's a fire near them. They're just not doing much because they're old. Cynthia looks up at Jack, who looks at Cynthia, and neither of them look very happy. That's kind of the theme of this episode. Everybody hates everybody.
Yes.
So I think I understand why this episode may not be the best, because everybody hates everybody. There's not a lot of happiness in this episode.
No, they're old couples who hate each other, which is like a trope of
old people. Yeah.
Old people, I guess, especially in the past.
Yeah.
Take my wife, please.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of that stuff. It just reminds me of boomer shit, you know?
Yeah, it's total boomer shit.
We see that they do have a big Rottweiler dog, though, Brandon. Do we ever get the dog's name? I don't think we do.
I never picked it up.
Hmm. All right. Well, what should
Cujo,
we...
Cujo, maybe?
Yeah, something like that. It is definitely a Rottweiler, though, because I know my dog breeds, Brandon, when I know them.
Oh, yeah. My boy knows dogs.
Yeah. Cynthia smokes on her little cigarette, and Jack takes a drink of some water or something, and you can just see Cynthia holding back her rage for no real reason.
It just kind of simmers all the time.
I don't really get it. I don't know. Jack slurps up another drink and then burps, and that's enough for Cynthia, okay? She slams her hands down on the table saying, "You're trying to kill me!" This outburst must be pretty common in their relationship because Jack's all like, ah, geez, here we go again. Another bitch fit. Cynthia gets up here complaining about all the food and drink that they have, saying, look at this shit. Rutabaga, bok choy, celery juice.
This isn't food.
It's leftovers from a compost heap. Sorry, I gotta get my old lady, like, you know, pretending to be old lady voice going, you know?
Mm-hmm.
She rage throws that shit off the table to the side as Jack yells at her that this compost heap stuff is the best shit he could find. Then he tells her to behave herself since she's in for a big surprise tonight, and this weekend was never planned for a weekend on the town. And she even knew that, Brandon. She knew it was going to be a weekend in the woods.
Yeah, why did she come?
Dude, that's my biggest question. I don't know why she's there.
Yeah, at some point it must have been like, hey, I'm going to hang out with the woods. And she's like, oh, you're fucking not going without me. But like, she hates the woods.
She fucking hates it. She wanted to go out on the town, Brandon. She wanted to eat at a nice restaurant, but no, they're in the fucking woods.
Drinking green juice. It's like that phone police juice.
Oh my god, the phone police juice. Gigi McHale didn't even know about that shit. Ugh. At this point, the couple just yell over each other. It's a lot. About how Cynthia isn't having an emotional outburst, and Cynthia accuses Jack of being abusive. It's really just them squabbling for a minute or two. Ultimately, Cynthia points her finger at Jack saying she wants meat. She wants real food at that just restaurant.
Like
that.
She's like, I want
meat. Yep, quoted right from her. Oh my god. Jack tells her there are no restaurants within 3 miles, so she yells about how they're stuck out here in a goddamn swamp with nothing to eat but her liver. And Jack tells her that her liver is full of bile. So Cynthia grabs a container and whips it at him, and it crashes against something off screen. Jack gets up now saying, now Cynthia, I'm warning you. If you don't pull yourself together, I swear I'll but Cynthia asks, "Yo, what?" Then she's attacked by a mosquito and slaps the shit out of her face, complaining about how she's never, ever in her entire life wanted to go camping. She's an indoor girl. But your friend Harry wanted to go camping, so we had to go camping. And then she marches her way to another luxurious motorhome in the woods.
They're everywhere.
It's an epidemic, man. Beautiful RVs everywhere. Jack stops her, saying that she's making a spectacle of herself. So she turns around yelling, "You got me out camping here. I'm starving and I hate it." The dog starts barking a bunch, and Cynthia starts going back to her own motorhome, saying that she's just going to go get herself out of here. And the dog spooks her a little, and she tells him that
I should have had you both put down years ago.
She makes it over to the door of her motorhome, complaining about how she's just going to drive herself back to civilization. But Jack grabs her, saying, "Oh, no, you ain't." Until Cynthia straight up bites his hand for some reason.
Yeah, we're at the point of the fight where they're biting each other.
She's hungry, Brandon. She wants meat.
She wants real food. Hands.
People hands, yeah. We cut over to our other two characters of this episode. We got Harry and Lucille in their motorhome. And Lucille says that she just can't watch this shit anymore and that the moon is just so full and it's about time, okay? But she fears what'll happen if these people keep fighting. Harry adds in that they've been fighting like this for 45 years. Lucille thinks that Jack is married to a crocodile. But also, does she remind you of Emma? Harry laughs, saying that Emma was never that bad, and Lucille adds in that she never will be again. Also, you never should have invited them. These people suck.
Oh, by the way, fuck this.
Harry explains that Jack saved his life back in Guadalcanal. All his life he wanted to repay him, and now he finally can. Lucille complains that this is just no good and gets up out of her seat. She opens up that door, and she walks outside. Brandon, what's Guadalcanal? Is that was a war, right?
Yeah, it's a World War II thing. So, okay. Like, that line when it happened kind of washed over me, and I didn't really think much of it. But I guess that does explain, because I was thinking through most of the episode, like, why are they doing this for these people?
Oh, right, yeah. Yeah, it's because Jack saved his life with Guadalcanal, Brandon.
Okay.
All right. I don't really... Okay, well, I'm just going to stop for a second here. I don't understand the magic of this episode too much. I mean, we haven't really seen it yet, but that's one of my things. I don't really get what... There's a lot of questionable moments in this episode.
Yeah, I don't think you can think about it too much.
Okay, fair enough. I'll keep going. Outside, Cynthia and Jack are still fighting about the car and driving and all that, and Lucille breaks that up by asking, "Wouldn't it be better if we allowed ourselves to succumb to the beauty of this peaceful place?" And Cynthia is all, "What?
Enjoy my life? I don't think so.
Never." Lucille says,
"I can smell jasmine."
In fact, in the island where her family lived, they had a grove like this. And we'd go and sit on some stumps of trees and listen to the sound of the silence. It was beautiful stuff. Jack says that he could use a little of that silent stuff. And Cynthia claps back that it can start with him. And she points her finger. Jack slaps that finger away, and Harry talks about diglycerides. Okay, I had to put it phonetically in my notes because I'm stupid. Cynthia asks what the fuck that shit is, and Harry says it might be genetic or something, but you could use more yellow vegetables in your diet. But Cynthia wants meat, so she ain't gonna have none of them yellow vegetables. What are yellow vegetables, man? What's a yellow vegetable?
Some kind of squash.
Oh, yeah, squashes, right. That's the only yellow vegetable I can think of, actually. Maybe I'm dumb. I need more yellow vegetables in my diet, I guess, here.
Yeah.
Cynthia throws up her hand, saying, "Ugh, more of that maggot biotic stuff. No, thank you." Then she focuses her attention over on Lucille, commanding her to stop stirring that stuff, since it's making her sick. Because Lucille is over at the campfire stirring, like, a witch's brew, if you will.
Yeah.
Lucille explains that this is a very special mixture of herbs. It'll do wonderful things. Cynthia challenges her to name one, and Lucille looks over at Harry, who just, like, shakes his head like, "No, don't tell her what this is gonna do, you know?" And so Lucille's all, it's a natural insecticide. It repels without killing. And then we hear a mosquito buzzing, and Cynthia slaps her face and sarcastically says, "Well, works very well, I see. I'm an old woman." Jack apologizes to Harry for the disturbances, and Cynthia's all, "What? Why are you apologizing to him? He should be apologizing to us, or to me at the very least."
Why?
I don't know. She's very entitled, okay?
Very entitled.
Jack snaps a bit here, yelling, "Cynthia, please." you keep going on like this and you're going to kill me. And Cynthia's all, kill you? If I were going to kill you, I wouldn't do it with words. No, I'd do it with little by little. She's turning into like a 40s, like, yeah, see?
I'm for it.
She says,
first I would cut off your dick. Ah, what the hell? You haven't used a thing in 20 years.
And that, like, dampens the mood.
Yeah.
That is too much,
putting
I guess.
It mildly, yeah, it's a bit of a party downer.
Yeah, things just kind of grow silent here, and Jack very slowly looks up at Cinny, who apparently dug a little bit too far this time. And he doesn't like that she's kind of airing out their dirty laundry in front of all of his good friends. He gets up.
Huh.
And he gets up and he goes over to the motorhome all sad, saying, no, I haven't, have I?
He's pretty much just like staring down at his shoes, like shuffling his feet.
Oh, my God. He opens up the door to his motorhome and he walks inside. Harry and Lucille look all sad, and Cindy she looks around for a moment like, oh, maybe I fucked up a little bit. But then she explains to Harry and Lucille that sometimes that man just gets the best of her, you know? Over with Jack, he grabs the keys out from the motorhome, which is something that I forgot to put in my notes until I was like, oh, this is important. I gotta put that in my notes. So he grabs the keys from the motorhome, and then he starts rummaging around in the cabinets, and he pulls out a bottle of vodka. When in walks Harry, who grabs that bottle, yelling, no, don't do it, Jack! They tussle over the bottle a little bit, but they're old men, so it's really not that exciting.
Yeah.
Jack complains some more that Cynthia is just the worst, and he can't take much more of this shit. And outside, we see that Cynthia has walked her way over to the motorhome to listen in, because in this episode, Cynthia just is a peeping Tom. Okay, well, is that the right...
Yeah.
She just overhears everything.
Cynthia is everywhere, but also, like... This whole episode takes place in like a 20-foot radius. So yeah. When we say like she sneaks over to the RV to listen in, it's like two steps.
Yeah, she's even when look, they're going to be going into the woods here and they're like, oh, we got to go pretty far in the woods. And it's like five steps away. So Cindy's listening in on this conversation as she does. And Harry tells Jack he knows what he's going through, but you can't just drink. OK, one drop of this stuff and everything goes the wrong way. Jack just can't take it anymore, though. And Harry levels with him, saying, you know, one time Emma treated me like this, I almost dropped her. Jack thinks that's a hell of an idea, but Cynthia and her lawyers would be all over him like stink on poop. He puts the vodka back in the cupboard, and Harry asks what he's going to do about her. So Jack asks, what'd you do about Emma, you know? And Harry tells him that
one night, when we were camping, not far from here, she wandered off from the campsite. We searched for days. Mm-hmm. Never found him.
Okay.
He then adds in, look, whatever you want to do tonight, you know, I'm here for you. Now, this is all cut with Cynthia eavesdropping. So, like, they talk a little bit and she's like, oh, my goodness. You know, she's listening.
Yeah. We get a lot of shots of Cynthia, like, gasping and being like, oh, my. Oh, goodness.
She's the curiosity of Curiosity Killed, Brandon. She just needs to know things. I don't blame her. I like to know things, too. So she, with this news in mind here, she sashays her way over to Lucille saying, oh my God, girl, I just heard the hottest goss. But before she can dish, the boys walk out of the motorhome and they go and they grab a shovel and a lantern and wordlessly walk out into the swamp. Lucille comments that it's a beautiful night and the moon will be very clear. And that is good. Over with the boys, they're digging in the ground and Jack asks, oh God, how much deeper we gotta dig? And Harry tells him, well, not too much since they knew he'd be back here. Jack complains more about how his life is shit, and he's down in the swamp digging for hope. Over with the gals, Cynthia complains that she gave Jack her youth and her beauty, and she's got nothing to show for it. Lucille, clearly not very interested, says, well...
No.
Okay.
She's not at all, like, empathetic towards Lucille. Towards Cynthia.
She's really not. And this next line that she says, I'm going to verb the voice clip for her, because I'm not going to say it, because I think it's stupid.
Yeah, you don't want that cut out and like you're trying to run for president. And it's like,
exactly.
You said this, huh?
Yeah. Well, Lucille says,
if the man makes the living, the woman should make the life worth living.
Which is stupid. Cynthia looks over at her saying, you have no right to judge me, Lucille. Like, okay, Cynthia. You've only known us 6 months. Then Lucille's opens up a little hand compact, and she looks at her old decrepit face and slaps that shit down. She gets all sad some more, and then she gets up and she walks away. Well, she more like old sneaky old lady like walks away into the swamp. It's funny. She gets up and she like creeps around.
Because I didn't really take in that line about Guadalcanal, when she said, like, you've only known us 6 months, I thought that meant, like, oh, these two couples, like, just met recently, and now they're hanging out in the woods and doing mysterious stuff. And I was like, man, why is this happening? Like, you don't know each other that well, but it makes much more sense, like I said.
Right, and the thing about this episode, they don't really talk about it a lot, but Harry with Emma. So this Emma person that we don't see is Harry's like ex-wife, and it mm-hmm. sounds like he hasn't really been with Lucille that long. It's been like 6 months, so
yeah.
I don't really know. Timeline wise, it's kind of stupid, honestly.
Yeah, Lucille's the newbie of the group.
Yes. We're with Cynthia now, and we see her walk over in the woods, and she slaps a mosquito, and like 5 seconds later, she's found the boys, okay, because it's not very far away. She starts spying on them. Harry talks about how Lucille knows things that he can't even believe or something, and how he's excited to touch her smooth and firm skin, whatever. He asks Jack if he remembers what it's like, and he laughs. But suddenly, they're there, and we see Harry pull up a skeleton. He tells Jack to meet Emma, and Jack gasps. Harry tells him that his piece began with a 6-inch blade, and Jack's all, oh my god, you murdered her? And we cut over to Cynthia spying, and she's got her mouth open, and we slow zoom into it. She's just like, oh my god, you know, it's great.
I mean, that is some juicy goss.
Right? She is all about that. Harry tells Jack that he's got two choices here. We can see this thing through, or he can walk out now. And Jack thinks on that for a moment, and he says, well, what have I got to lose? And Cindy can't believe what she is hearing, Brandon. Oh my god. Harry explains that these bulbs they planted in skeleton Emma's mouth need plenty of moonlight. So he shifts the skull to see the moonlight. And Cynthia here, she's had enough. She runs away as the boys prop the skeleton up to get maximum moonlight. And we see the bulbs in her mouth, they start to grow. Over with Cynthia, she runs up to Lucille screaming that they're going to kill them. Harry killed his first wife and buried her out there. They're both crazy. Lucille's pretty unfazed by this, saying, yeah, it's called moon madness, girl. Cynthia asks, are you even listening to me? They're going to kill us. Just then, the boys come back from their adventure, and Harry's got some big white flowers in his hands. Cindy looks at them, saying, I saw what you did out there. Harry, you murderer! And she runs away from Harry. Then she points at Jack, asking, what have you gotten us into? In response, Jack just starts singing,
Gooly, 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 gooly,
gooly, gooly, gooly, gooly, goo.
Over and he does over a again. Little jig and
he's dancing, yeah.
Sings gooly 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 goo.
I don't know why.
What is this episode? And this isn't the only time this happens.
No, it happens about, I think it happens like two more times where they just sing gooly gooly. I don't know why. Okay. What, why? Is that the name of the flower? I don't know.
Oh, they're just fucking weirdos, man. Like,
who wrote this? Who wrote this fucking script? With Lucille, she ladles up a cup of that liquid that she's been stirring over the campfire. Cynthia asks what the hell all this is about, and what's up with that flower? Lucille snatches that flower and smiles at it, calling it Lucarona, the beautiful flower of love and life. Jack tells Cynthia that it's very important she listens to him. Something incredible is about to happen. And he dances and laughs away. Cynthia calls him crazy as he dances in front of Harry's motorhome. He opens up the door, telling Cynthia, after you, Jaws. Cynthia ain't about to go in there, though, saying, not on your life. So Jack is all, okay, whatevs, and walks on inside to Harry and Lucille's motorhome. Cynthia now sits down at the table saying, god damn, everybody's gone crazy up in here. And the dog starts growling and snapping at her for some reason. Just, I think it's to remind us that there's a dog. I don't know.
Yeah, we have to remember that.
Mm-hmm. And we look over at the motorhome, and Jack snaps the blind shut because he doesn't want any of that, you know, Cynthia bullshit looking in. The dog growls some more, and Cynthia hears some moaning from inside the trailer. So she runs on over, she slaps on the door, demanding to know what they've done to Lucille, because I guess it's Lucille that's groaning. Harry opens up the door, saying that he hasn't done nothing. Somehow, from behind Lucille pops Jack, asking if this Cynthia character is giving them a problem. And I don't know how he got outside of the motorhome, because he was just inside of it. But maybe there's a back door. I don't know. I don't know how the juice works. He just teleported behind Cynthia somehow.
You drink the juice and then you can teleport. That's the twist of this episode, right?
Maybe. Let's find out. Jack goes to grab Cynthia for some reason, and Cynthia hates that and tells him to get his murderous hands off of me, and then runs over to her own motorhome. She gets to the door, she opens that shit up, and she walks on inside and closes and locks it. Jack bangs on the door, telling that hag to let him in, and Cynthia plops down at the driver's seat to make her getaway. But ah, shit, there ain't no keys, Brandon.
Of course.
From outside, Jack jumps into frame at the front of the motorhome, holding up the keys, singing "Ghouli Ghouli" over and over again.
Why?
Because it's so funny, Brandon, because he laughs and he runs away. Cynthia runs over to the drawer and grabs a chef's knife and looks outside the window. And the camera pans us over to the other RV where we hear Jack moaning and complaining that Harry didn't tell him he'd feel like this. We fade away and back to Cynthia, who is sleeping in a chair. And the dog starts barking, right? And it wakes her up, and she looks around a little, and we see Harry and Jack making their way back out into the swamp for some reason. Cynthia, old lady, gets up, being all wobbly like a newborn giraffe. And she exits the motorhome with that knife in hand. The dog looks up and growls at her, just to remind us again that there's a dog.
There's still a dog.
Mm-hmm, a nameless dog. And she makes her way out into the swamp. We see her creep around back to the spot where Emma's skeleton is, and we hear Harry say that they need to take another dose. Jack thinks Harry looks beautiful, and Harry laughs at him, telling him to kiss him. That's so sweet. Jack's all, yeah, sure.
As soon as you kiss Emma.
And then they smooch. No, they don't. I've been just like blazing through this episode, Brandon. I mean, there's really not a lot that happens.
My notes for this are like so short.
Yeah, I mean, this episode is basically just Cinny eavesdropping on their conversations. It's honestly, like, it moves really quick. Which is good for the episode because it's, like, not the best episode, but I don't know. I feel like I need to break it up with, like, talking or something, or else this episode is going to be, like, 20 minutes long.
I mean, there's nothing more to say. There's a dog.
I guess, you know what, we'll have a lot to say at the end here. Suddenly, a hand reaches out and touches Cynthia, who gets startled. It's Lucille, though, and the boys ask, what's all the hubba over here? Lucille tells them there's just this old lady lost in the woods. Cindy's all, what you talk about calling me old? And then she looks at Lucille's face, and she's young and beautiful, Brandon.
Oh my gosh, she's gorgeous now.
Cynthia touches her face, asking, what happened?
I took off that old people makeup. It was easy.
It was a wet wipe. Swiped my face. Lucille tells her that she's happy. Jack pipes up, saying, well, I guess now we can tell her why we're even here in the first place, which is what we should have done at the beginning, so that none of this confusion would happen, but... we're stupid, so Lucille has a little secret. Lucille finally decides to tell Cindy what's going on here. Her dad left her some bulbs from her island, and Harry planted them in Emma 3 months ago since they needed fertilizer. Lucille adds that it just had to be done that way, and that's why the plants grew so quickly under the light of the moon. One flower for each of them. So, in order to make young happen, Brandon, you have to murder somebody and plant flowers in their skeletal face.
It's the only way to be sure.
But you got to have bulbs from Lucille's dad's island, okay? Which I assume is Jamaica. I'm not sure.
I don't know. It's a nameless island.
I feel like in Tales from the Crypt, if there's some voodoo magic or anything, it's got to be from Jamaica. I don't know why. Jack tells Cynthia that Lucille drank the sap and now she's gorgeous. Cynthia can't get over how smooth Lucille's skin is, and Jack smiles, saying, it's the fountain of youth, baby. Cynthia can't believe this shit, again, she just can't believe anything, saying, no. It can't be possible. And Lucille says, yeah, that's what makes it so wonderful. Cynthia laughs, saying, oh my goodness, I thought Harry was trying to kill you. Harry explains that the sound was just Lucille taking the first dose, and it hurts like hell and burns when it goes down. Lucille tells her the second dose would be easier. Cynthia puts everything together now, saying, oh, the insecticide. Harry and Jack raise up the flowers, and they sing Ghouli Ghouli for the third time now, which is annoying.
Why?
I don't know, Brandon. They're old. They're senile. Who knows? Harry asks Cynthia what she thinks of the maggot bile garbage now. Cynthia gets a good look at Harry and Jack, and they're also young and gorgeous now, and she comments on that. She's all, oh, now we can be young and happy again. She looks over at Jack with love in her eyes as she says,
but I married you 45 years ago. You are beautiful and sweet. And I've looked forward so much to bringing us back to those days again, Cynthia.
And Cynthia's all, oh, so do I, Jack. I would love a second chance. It's very sweet. It's like, yeah, this moment, I'm like,
these two kids are going to make it.
Yeah, it's so damn sweet. Jack tells her, I'm sure you would, but I've done my time as far as you're concerned. 45 years of hard labor. I will not do that time again. And Cynthia goes to grab for the flowers, but Jack pulls it away and then rips it up and throws it on the ground.
Damn.
Cynthia's all, what the fuck, dude? You son of a bitch. And she raises up the knife, but is quickly overpowered by young, beautiful Jack, who says that he's looking forward to watching her wither away and calls her an old crone. So, Brandon.
Yes?
After all of this, why did they bring Cynthia here in the first place?
I don't... Why did they tell her about it? Just go off on your own and be beautiful and just...
If that's what you wanted to do in the first place, then do that. If you wanted to tell her about it and make her beautiful too, which it seems to be what they wanted to do at the beginning of this episode here, tell her about it from the beginning.
Maybe they were like, all right, we'll give her a chance to redeem herself. And she just couldn't stop.
It's stupid, though.
So they were like, man... Fuck a Lucy. No, fuck a Cynthia.
I guess. It just doesn't make any sense to me, Brandon. I mean, I guess that creates turmoil for this episode, but like, if this is your plan, just tell her from the beginning. Be like, hey, girl, we're going out to the campins. I know you hate that, but I promise you're going to love it. We're going to get young and gorgeous. It'll be cool.
Yeah.
And she'd be like, oh, okay.
There's no restaurants, but there is immortality. So,
yeah.
Take the good with the bad.
You get one, it's just one singular night. It'll be fine. And she'd be like, okay, I guess I could do that. But nah, they're like, let's keep it a secret so that there's drama. Well, after this revelation here, Cynthia looks around and yells, you can't stop me. I know where the rest of it is. And she, old lady, runs back to the camp. We stay with Jack, Lucille, and Harry, and Jack asks, should we let her drink it? And Lucille's all, oh, well, without that flower juice, she's just going to get sick to her tummy. With Cynthia, she waddles her way over to the potion on the campfire. She grabs a little cup, she opens it up, and ladles in a couple of spoonfuls of the good stuff. She closes that, and then she stops and thinks for a second, and she smiles. And she puts that bottle in her pocket and walks over to the motorhome. We see her reach into the cabinet and take that vodka. She opens that shit up and she dumps the rest of the vodka into the potion, then looks around for a second, and then she chucks the bottle off screen, as well as the cap. Then she runs back over to the motorhome, she gets on inside, and she closes the door. And I was like, Cynthia, look at you with your little master plan here. They were very stupid to leave her alone with the potion, though, I will say.
They are dumb, but she, I mean, it was quick thinking on her part.
Yeah.
Because again, they're 5 feet away.
Right. She had very little time to do this, and she went for it. She watches out the window as the rest of the gang walk up to the camp with their flowers. Lucille divvies up the potion into cups, and they each take their flower, and they squeeze the juice out of it, Brandon.
Mm-hmm.
These flowers, they juicy, okay? They got lots of juice in them.
Yeah, they're corpse flowers.
Cynthia gets up out of the motorhome now as Jack toasts them all to their future.
For all the base lies that we have been told, when there's love in our hearts... We can never grow old.
And I'm like, damn, Jack, you came up with that right on the spot. Okay. They cheer each other and they take a drink as Cynthia watches from the doorway. She asks, how does it feel? And the three all laugh for a moment. But then they scream out in pain. Cynthia tells them that she thought she'd improve the recipe. She added a little vodka to it. Lucille screams out that she should not have done that. And Cindy smiles saying, oh, but I did.
She is just loving this.
But only after saving some of the pure stuff for myself. And she shows off her little bottle of the good shit. The three continue writhing in pain as Cynthia grabs the flower from Jack's hands. She calls him a miserable bastard and that she hopes it hurts worse than it looks. The three are still screaming and shaking a whole bunch. And Cynthia yells, you want to know the first thing I'm going to do? I'm going to find myself a real man. A young one with the balls. And money. Jack calls her a bitch as she squeezes the flower juice into her potion. The three look up and their skin is all stretchy and gross until they all fall down and they poof away into dust, Brandon. They're all fucking dead.
Yeah, they did the thing. They grew so old so quickly that they just turned into mummies and died.
Yeah, they fucking Tale of the, what was that episode called?
The one with the beauties?
Yeah, they fucking Tale of the Mystical Mirror it up, Brandon.
Love it.
With that, Cynthia smiles and giggles a little as she just murdered all those people and finds a cup and pours that potion into it. Now, she could have drinking it right from the plastic vial that she has in her hands. But she's like, nope, I'm a woman. I got to put it in a cup. You know, I'm a proper lady.
Yeah, there's still etiquette, even in the middle of the woods.
Mm-hmm. She takes a swig and drinks it up. But then she puts her cup down and she accidentally knocks the rest of the potion to the ground. And we see the dog walk up and start lapping it up. Cynthia cries out in pain, and then we see her face change to a much younger version. And her hair is brown instead of old. And she's beautiful, Brandon. She's beautiful now.
Yeah, she's gorgeous.
She wiped away all of that old lady makeup.
She's better than ever.
She runs over to her hand mirror and looks at herself and is just so happy. She does a little ballerina swirl, but Brandon, the dog hates ballerina swirls.
That's what sets him off.
It starts growling and barking, and then it lunges at her until its leash snaps, and we hear Cynthia scream off screen.
Jesus.
Yeah. Nobody can be happy. Sometime later, we see two hikers walking up on the RV, complaining about how they're almost at the campsite, and it's just super special. Then we see the motorhome, and the dude complains like, oh my god, if you're gonna get something like this, might as well not just stay home, you know? Like, why are you even camping?
Good point.
The woman tells him to shush. And that they're probably still asleep inside. Then they hear the tiny barks of a puppy Rottweiler. And the woman kneels down saying that this dog is just so goddamn cute. And we see it nibbling on a big old femur bone. She plays with it, wondering how this little dog could get this huge ass bone. And the camera pans us over to a trail of bones before we stop on the absolutely mangled and demolished corpse of Cynthia. And it looks pretty good. I
can't believe they showed it.
I know, right? I was like, okay, that's a pretty good way to end the episode. Just like Cynthia's mangled up corpse. It looks pretty good.
Yeah. Like when the dog pounced on her, like you don't see it or anything. It's just off screen. She's like, oh.
Yeah.
But it's not ambiguous at the end here. She's chewed up by a puppy.
Yeah. She's been Rottweilered, if you will. And it looks great. There's just a pile of mangled up fucking Margot Kidder.
Yeah. I like how they hired Margot Kidder for this episode, and they cover her in that old people makeup for 99% of this episode.
Yeah.
And 1%, she gets to be like, hey, it's me, Margot Kidder, and then she gets eaten by a dog, like, right away.
I do, too. And, you know, we'll talk about Margot Kidder some more in a moment here, but I think she's great. I think she's great in this episode. Like, she's very unlikable because she's a battle axe of a woman kind of thing. But, like, she sells it really well. She hams it up with her old lady, like, gestures and her movement and stuff. Like, she went for it, and it was great.
Yeah, she does a very good job at playing a very bad person.
Yeah. Well, now we're back with the Crypt Keeper, who's got a skull in his flower pot. He opens the skull's mouth and drops a little something-something inside of it. And he's got this, like, Boy Scout uniform on, and he says that Cynthia is a real shrieking violet. Wouldn't you say, kiddies? A regular afterlife of the party. And he giggles. He says, didn't know I was a Boar Scout, did ya? Well, I am. My horror to culture scarlet badge, goddamn, that was hard to say, requires me to plant crocuses. A real shame, though. I'd much rather plant dibrids. And he laughs us out of the episode, and that is the end of season 4 of Tales from the Crypt, Brandon.
Wow.
Yeah.
We're like over halfway done now, right?
Yeah. We only have we have 5, 6, and 7 left, and that's it. We're over half done. Crazy.
Okay. Well.
Ghouli-ghouli is all I'm going to say about that.
That's the alternate title, by the way.
Oh, spoilers. Brandon, did you learn anything from Curiosity Killed?
Oh, boy. Don't take your dog camping.
Yeah. It's gonna end terribly. Yeah, so many things to learn, Brandon. So many things. I don't know what they are, but I learned them. I learned, Brandon, the thing I took away from this episode is that you could juice anything. Okay, flowers. So juicy.
You just, yeah, squeeze them. They wrung that flower out like a wet dish rag.
It's got, look, if you're thirsty, if you're dying of thirst, just grab a flower, squeeze that juice in your mouth. You'll be fine. You know what we didn't learn? What the fuck Ghouli Ghouli is.
Yeah. We didn't learn Ghouli Ghouli. We didn't learn the dog's name. We didn't learn the island that Lucille's parents are from. There's a lot that we didn't learn.
Yeah. It's left me more stupid than when I started watching it. Alternate title, Brandon. Ghouli Ghouli.
Ghouli, it's got to be Ghouli Ghouli.
Emma in the Woods with Flowers.
That's sweet.
I know, right? It's like a Beatles song. It's great.
Nobody likes green juice.
Nope. Not in Tales from the Crypt or Are You Afraid of the Dark? Fucking dump that shit right down the drain. Brandon, do you want to meet our cast? We got a whole couple of people here.
Yeah, we've got exactly four people.
You know what, though? Funny enough, I looked at the Tales from the Crypt IMDb, and there's like three other characters in this episode, but I don't know where they were.
Well, there's the two hikers or whatever at the end.
Yeah.
And then the dog, I don't know.
There's somebody credited as Frank, and then somebody as Selma, and somebody as Kat. And I don't know, there was only one other.
Yeah, there was definitely, definitely no other people.
Guess who we're not going to talk about? Frank, Selma, or Kat. Okay, I'm not going to bother. No. Let's start out with Margot Kidder, who played Cynthia. The late Margot Kidder, she passed away in 2018.
Yeah.
That's sad. I don't like it when people die, believe it or not.
It's a hot take.
I know, right? Let's see. So Margot, she's been in a ton of stuff, so many things. Started it off 1968 with something called Wojak. But I mean, for ease sake here, I think she's best known as Lois Lane, right?
Gotta be, yeah.
Yeah, she was Lois Lane in Superman from 1978. And yeah, she was in a couple of them Supermans, you know?
Yep, she was also in the Amityville Horror.
Oh, yeah, she was, wasn't she? She was also allegedly the voice of Ozma of Oz in 1987. There's some of those weird, like, maybe Japanese animated Wizard of Oz movies, you know, those weird ones that you can pick up at Walmart for like $2 that nobody actually wants to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think she was in a couple of those. She was in Captain Planet and the Planeteers for 17 episodes. She voiced Gaia, Brandon.
Oh, shit. She was Gaia?
She sure was.
Okay, that's the thing she's most famous for. That thing I didn't know she was in, but still.
Yeah, yeah.
Very cool.
She was in Ah, Real Monsters, as well as The Outer Limits and Mentors. And Chicks with Sticks, Brandon, classic from 2004.
And an episode of R.L. Stein's The Haunting Hour.
Oh, maybe we'll see her again, Brandon.
Maybe she met your boy.
Oh, I hope she did. The last thing she was in, Brandon, is something that came out in 2019, so after she had passed away. It's called Puppy Swap, Love Unleashed.
Okay, that could be an alternate title for this episode.
Love Unleashed, right? Yeah. No, the dog just wanted to really love on Margot Kidder.
To death.
The next character we got, Brandon, is Jack, played by the late Kevin McCarthy, who passed away in 2010. Oh, this guy was in Looney Tunes Back in Action, Brandon.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, so he was most known for Looney Tunes Back in Action.
Yeah.
But what else was he in?
According to IMDb, pretty much everything. I'm keeping scrolling here. Started off 1944 with Winged Victory, Brandon.
Good
Winged
Lord.
Victory. Yeah. He played in Death of a Salesman in 1951. That's a thing, right? Is that like a play or something?
Yeah.
Well, spoilers, Brandon. That's like season 5, episode 1 of Tales from the Crypt is called Death of Some Salesman. So, He was in The Twilight Zone. Maybe we'll see him again, eh? Maybe someday.
That'd be cool. Which one?
The old one.
Okay.
The one from 1959, or sorry, 1960 is the episode he was on. Goddamn, if we cover the Twilight Zone, dude, we're going to be in the Twilight Zone for years and years and years.
I'd love to be in the Twilight Zone for years.
He was in Mission Impossible from 1971. Flamingo Road, Brandon, 38 episodes of some sort of TV show called Flamingo Road from 1980 to 1982.
Okay, so...
He was in Dark Tower in 1987. I don't think that has anything to do with Stephen King, though.
I'm going to guess no.
Yeah. More recently, let me scroll up here, in the 2000s, he was in Trail of the Screaming Forehead. Oh, yeah, that sounds stupid. The last thing he was in was 2012's The Ghastly Love of Johnny X. So that came out, you know, after he passed away. Next up, Brandon, let's talk about J.A. Preston, who played Harry. He is still around. He's still kicking. He hasn't made anything in a while, though. Last credit role, 2006. But let's see where he started things off. It was 1969 with New York Television Theater. The theater, Brandon. He was in All in the Family, Good Times, The Jeffersons, all those hits.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
he was all over.
Little House on the Prairie in 1982. He was in Dallas and Desperate and a lot of TV shows. Captain
Moonlighting, Long. Magnum P.I., The A-Team. He was literally like in every TV show.
Yeah. And then, House of Frankenstein, 1997. And ended things off in 2006 with Sweet Deadly Dreams. He was out of the stuff, Brandon. He's done. Last up, we got Madge Sinclair. The late Madge Sinclair passed away in 1995. She played Lucille.
Oh, wow.
It's always so sad when people pass away shortly after their, you know, we talk about the episode they're in. She started things off 1972 with Madigan. She was also in something called Cornbread, Earl, and Me. And I don't know about you, Brandon, but I love cornbread.
It's good. I haven't had it in a while.
Oh, we got to get some cornbread to you, buddy. Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home. Roseanne. She was in one episode. She was in Star Trek The Next Generation. She was in The Lion King. She was in The Lion King, Brandon. She voiced Sarabi. I don't know which one Sarabi is, but she did the voice.
Pretty sure that's Mufasa's wife.
Oh, well, there we go. And the last thing she was in was called Dream On from 1995. And she sadly passed away. But that's our cast, Brandon. That was Curiosity Killed, and that was the end of season 4 of Tales from the Crypt.
We did it.
Yeah. Another season in the books, Brandon. But next week, we're just going to talk all about it again, okay? We're going to cover everything. We're going to answer questions. We're going to just deep dive into season 4 and see what we liked and what we didn't like.
All right.
Sound good to you? I love it. Yeah, me too. But I think that's all I got for right now here, Brandon. That's all I got for Curiosity Killed.
Yeah. I'm over it.
Yeah, me too. Me too, Brandon. But yeah, I mean, I've been up all night. I think I'll talk with you next week about season 4 of Tales from the Crypt.
I'll be here.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.